Mitchell, Indiana, built as a railroad town in the 1800s, it saw its heyday before it even became an incorporated town. Today, with a population under 4,000, you would think it could only offer what any small town in Middle America could. Instead, within its borders lies a mysterious home with a past you would never expect. I'm Christina.
And I'm Kristen.
And today on the Real Crime Podcast, we will be telling you all about the haunted history of the Whispers Estate of Mitchell, Indiana. Unassuming house from the road, but filled with terror and tragedy. In fact, this home has so much buzz that if you ask any Hoosier, they'll tell you it's the most haunted place in Indiana. Except that one guy who's like travel review just said fake in all caps.
He really didn't like
it. I was like, man, he didn't have the experience he paid for. It's pretty interesting. Now, this is when that I had never heard of, which I found kind of interesting and just sort of stumbled upon through one of my many late night
TV
true
watching.
Crime TV experiences. Exactly. Exactly. Plus it's spooky season, so I'm all about that haunted stuff. So this home is so named because of the whispers that can be heard in its halls. The Whispers Estate was built around 1894, which were the earliest records that they found, and owned by Dr. George and Sarah White. The first owners then sold the house to Dr. John and Jesse Gibbons. So John and Jesse, unable to have children of their own, adopted at least three children in their time in the house. The first floor served as an office for Dr. Gibbons, and given the time period and nature of medicine in the era, it's likely that many of his ill patients did not survive. It's also possible that many died in the house as well. He was well known in the area and actually practiced medicine for 26 years there.
He was not well known in a good way, though.
Oh, good. Fun. Okay. That's
he
always
was
a good
like
time.
The bad doctor.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't find anything that he did, like experiments or anything, like nothing like that, but he was just not a good doctor.
I guess a lot of people died. And, like, when we get a little deeper into it, like, there's things where I'm like, damn, okay, some stuff happened in this house for sure. So at this point, we're talking 1901 to 1927. And again, this is like times of great horrible illnesses and like really awful medical choices. Weren't they still like bloodletting in the early 1900s sort of thing?
I have no idea when that stopped.
All I know is that turn of the century, when like the TB outbreaks happened and stuff like that, the tuberculosis outbreaks happened.
I thought you said TV.
Like TV, like television. when that plague television hit us, you know? No, when the TB outbreaks hit, it's like they basically went back to the hardcore olden days and they were doing crazy, crazy stuff and burying people with bells and everything.
I mean, they didn't really know what to do.
No, I mean, that's fair. That's fair because there was
science
no medicine.
Wasn't, like, advanced.
Fair. Super fair. So the tragedies that occurred to the family directly are known and truly horrific. The Gibbons, who had three adopted children and loved them deeply, would see awful circumstances surround them in their time in the home. Rachel, which I've actually seen spelled two different ways in researching, almost like a Rachel and Rachel. So
well, one's a European way of spelling it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
the one
fair.
With the A-E.
With the A-E? I had no idea. So Rachel was 10 years old when she, like any 10-year-old, decided to sneak downstairs on Christmas morning. She was overwhelmed by all of the presents placed near and around the fireplace. While searching through the gifts, her nightgown caught fire. The entire front parlor was engulfed in flames. It's hard to know that they, like, whether or not they would have had running water in the home at this point to put out the flames, because this was a time period where some homes would and some homes wouldn't. I didn't find reference, but obviously they're now dealing with a situation where the flames are only going to pick up on all that fabric that they used. I mean, like, they would wallpaper their walls in fabric, and so it's going up. Like, everything is going to burn. And the home like this, the flames just ran through very quickly. Rachel was also engulfed in those flames and badly burned. She survived for the next 2 days in an upstairs bedroom, but died from her injuries there in the home on December 27th.
That's a really sad Christmas.
I can't even imagine. Like, basically losing a section of the house and your child all in one fell swoop. Not in that order.
I wasn't even really thinking about the house.
Okay, not in that order. I was just thinking, like, obviously losing the child.
That's the most tragic part. It was so awful. We have to rebuild that part.
Oh, it's going to be so drafty all winter. No. I'm a real dirtbag. No. So then their 10-month-old infant daughter became incredibly ill and died from what was later thought to be cot death. Now, cot death is, like, now referred to as SIDS, which is sudden infant death syndrome. But what I find interesting is they did say that she became ill and then died from cot death. And
that's not how that happened.
Exactly. And SIDS is sudden. It's sudden infant death syndrome. So there is no
maybe
illness.
They just used that as an excuse because the father was a doctor and couldn't figure it out.
Right. Absolutely. So, and that's absolutely possible.
A bad doctor.
Yeah, a really bad doctor. So there's really, to this day, no understanding in the medical community as to why SIDS occurs. But at any time to any family, it's a tragedy. And the child's cot was located in the primary bedroom. In that same bedroom, Dr. Gibbons would treat his own wife with a bout of double pneumonia. So this happens when an infection negatively impacts both of the lungs at the same time. Today, it can be treated very simply with antibiotics or antivirals and rest, but in the early 1900s, the survival rates were much lower, essentially suffocating the patient slowly until their bodies do not have enough oxygen to function.
That is terrifying to think about.
It's literally like drowning in your bed. Like, just think about it. Like, you're just unable to breathe.
So, like, three of the worst ways to die, I think, are engulfed in flames.
Yeah, for sure.
Slowly burning to death.
Not good.
Drowning.
Yeah.
And being buried alive.
Oh.
So this family, drowning aside, has pretty much all of them. I mean, not buried alive.
I was going to say, and buried alive
but
aside.
Suffocated.
Yeah.
Suffocating
absolutely.
To death.
Absolutely. Awful. Absolutely awful. So at this point, Jessie died only 2 weeks after the death of her infant, mind you. There in the same room where her child had suddenly passed. And the fact that she had double pneumonia usually, like, you don't just wake up with it one morning. It stems from something. And so I'm assuming that whatever she had, the child had as well. And they likely both were negatively impacted because it was so close together.
Yeah.
But, you know, who am I rewriting
that would make
history?
Sense. You know, the mom survived a little longer
because, right,
you know, she was
stronger.
Not 10 months old.
Exactly. She wasn't 10 months old. Dr. Gibbons had to live with the guilt of not being able to save the lives of two of his children and his wife, all while treating his patients and raising his one remaining child. And I heard very little, if anything, mentioned about this surviving child. I guess because this child survived, they're like, meh, we don't need to talk about it. But I thought that was kind of strange.
It is strange because we hear about the father.
Right, exactly. And so it's kind of bizarre. So after the Gibbons ownership, there were actually additional tragedies. In the late 1950s and early 1960s, there was actually a report of a man dying in an upstairs bathroom. However, I couldn't find his cause of death. as well as a young boy falling down the stairs, like the front stairs, to his death. So he basically rolled down the stairs and likely broke his neck or fractured a skull or something along those lines.
Do we know if he died, like,
there,
or if he died later on?
Very, very limited details on this. I mean,
just based on, like, the ghost aspect for this case, I would have to assume he died there.
I'm assuming that everybody died in this joint because, like, there's so much stuff. I don't know if you listen to any of, like, the EVP recordings and stuff from different ghost hunters that have gone in, but it's literally like you're in a crowded room and people are talking all around you. It's really disturbing. It's weird. I was
planning on watching The Ghost Adventures because I assume they go there.
I didn't watch The Ghost Adventures. No. You're not going to get me to watch that guy. I didn't. I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I can't.
I came home after a long day and I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch The Ghost Adventures this episode. I just assume there is one. I didn't even check. But there must be. They have like 15 seasons.
Yeah. Yeah, and no, it's true. It's true.
I walked in and I was like, yeah, no, there's no way I'm going to be sitting down and listening to him or watching him.
Yeah. For anybody who's curious, we or any of our newer listeners who aren't fully aware already, we have like a deep, deep hatred for Zach Bagans, who is the guy from Ghost Hunters.
I wouldn't call it hatred. Right?
Ghost Adventures.
Whatever. Everyone,
I don't know.
The annoying guy that is a know-it-all.
Yeah. He's awful. Who's always like calling demons. And it's like, oh my God, what am I
really can't stand him.
No, he's just the worst.
All right, that was a,
and we're back.
We keep talking about him on this show. Sorry, that was my bad. I brought it up.
It's totally cool. I just like the fact that it was almost like we just had a commercial break to talk about our hatred of Zach Bagans, and now we're back. So in 2006, an owner purchased the property after it sat vacant for some time. The home needed a full restoration. During that time of restoration, a series of strange events began in the home. As time passed, the activity actually increased, leading to the name Whispers Estates. And now I would like to just note, because a lot of people have asked me this, and it's like when you're dealing with a vacant home, even though no one's in there and they're not like messing it up, there's just, it's like this whole concept of if you put a rope, like a length of rope past, I think it's like 3 feet or something, into a box, it's going to get tangled, which is a really odd thing. Like even if the box never moves, even if nobody touches it, it just sits there, it's going to get tangled. And there's something about vacant homes where even if no one is in there, all the little critters from outside find their way in. They do weird amounts of destructive damage.
If anyone says vacant home to me, I picture raccoons
living in it. Yeah.
And destroying everything, taking down walls.
This house that we're in right now, this house sat vacant for at least a year before we purchased it. And it was in foreclosure, so probably longer. And the basic maintenance that's required on a home in, let's say, even just 1 year, like full four seasons, if you don't do that, it is amazing the destruction that can occur. And it was wild. I mean, like the stuff that we had to repair that we never even would have thought of. And the number of mice that had moved into this house, they were everywhere. Like, not by the time we got here, but what's that?
They're cute, though.
Oh, they're adorable.
Did you take one as a pet? No, I know you didn't.
No, I didn't.
I think I would have.
We have had little field mice like in our yard, and I've been tempted to just be like, you live with us now.
They're
and I love
so
you.
Cute.
But we've not, outside of the one basement mouse that was very brazen, he would sit on top of the brick wall in the basement and just stare at Cole while Cole stared back at him. And outside of him, that's the only mouse I've ever seen in this house. We've just found like evidence that they lived here prior to us. So
poop. Is that what you mean?
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Kristen. That was so eloquently put. I appreciate it.
No problem. That's what I'm here for.
So back to the Whispers estate.
Again.
Again. From the front parlor to the second floor, visitors to the home have reported hearing Rachel run around the home up and down the stairs. In the primary bedroom, the scent of baby powder and muffled screams can be heard even when nothing is upstairs. In the place where Jesse died from double pneumonia, guests have reported waking to the feeling of labored breathing or even coughing. Some have reported feeling as if an invisible force was sitting on their chest.
No, thank you.
I'm good. Not staying there. The closet door handle jiggles with ferocity, then stops. Moments later, the closet door pops open with ease.
Oh, didn't a contractor die in that closet? I heard that.
Oh, fun. I didn't hear that. Super and possible. And I think
that's why the closet is a thing.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Like, from a heart attack or something.
Jesus.
Maybe I'm making that part up.
I don't know. I'm going to go with it. Someone let's start that rumor. Someone died in the closet. She's spilling tea and I'm drinking it. It's fine. So as many as like 5 occurrences in a row have been reported with this closet door. So like someone is standing in front of the door. It jiggles, pops open. Someone closes it. And then it like the process repeats. It jiggles and pops open again. So as many as 5 times a row in just a few minutes. That's and it's all happening directly in front of you, which is nuts. So once the activity was discovered, a number of paranormal investigators came through the property. As I was saying, I've listened to some of the recordings, and honestly, you would think that it was recorded in a room full of people. These are like the chattiest ghosts I've ever heard in my life. In the backyard, it's actually believed that there are 4 individual graves, as well as a mass grave, which was used to dispose of bodies, limbs, fetuses, organs, and the like during that doctor's 26-year career.
That's definitely where I would put discarded body parts.
Obviously. And then garden right over it, right? Absolutely. I don't know. Ugh, gross.
That's serial killer stuff.
I know.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I assume it was much different.
Well, yeah. Now, like
20-something years ago.
I mean, but you figure, like, in the 1900s, if they had to amputate your arm, like, they're not sending you home with the arm, you know? They're just right. throwing it in the trash.
But, like, I don't know. No biohazard existed, I guess.
No, definitely not. Definitely
just,
not.
I'm just going to bury that in my backyard.
Exactly.
It just still seems strange.
I would probably at least buy an empty lot and, like, make that the body part pit or something.
Something.
It's weird. It's definitely weird. I don't know what the circumstances were. Now, from the front porch to the attic, psychics who have come to the property have actually reported a vortex or portal in the home.
Don't like that.
Nope. Now, we actually covered and visited a space that had a portal, and that was insane.
Yeah.
If you remember, if you go all the way back, we have one of our earlier episodes.
It was like episode 6 or something. Yeah. And I only know that because I was just talking about it.
Oh, how funny. With my coworkers.
Like, 2 days ago.
So we went to the Twisted Vine, which is in Derby.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a restaurant now. But back in the day, it was
a bank.
It was a bank. But then they also shut it down during the like river flooding and stuff because they had to store dead bodies in there. And then
it was so weird.
We just got to use this to store the dead bodies. Sorry, guys. You're just the most convenient location. And we went into the attic and, I mean, the photos and stuff, like, I still have some. I could probably repost them from, like, back in the day. But there's orbs everywhere and it's crazy. Like, there's definitely something going on in there. And we're not the only ones who have experienced weird stuff.
Rachel had to go touch the wall that was supposedly right. the portal. And I was like, what are you doing?
Right. Like, the guy who was giving us, because we ended up getting this, like, private tour when he found out that we do this podcast. And so they take us up to the attic and what have you, where this apparent, like, hell portal is. And Rachel's just like, cool, cool, cool. Can I go rub my body on it? And we're like, no, don't do that. And Rachel, by the way, we're talking about Kristen's wife, Rachel, because there's a Rachel in the story.
She's just spelled E-L.
Exactly. We didn't bring...
Not Rachel.
No, we did not bring Rachel with us. So they've got this portal, which is absolutely insane. And some guests who have stayed for any amount of time in the home on the 3rd floor have actually reported something or someone attempting to get in the middle of the night. So when they rush to the door to see who's there, it's just like an empty dark hall. And there's something that's so much creepier about that than I care to give, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Comfort to. It's really disturbing.
So, can we pop back to the closet for a second?
Let's go. Let's go.
Okay, because I
talk to me about the contractor with the heart attack.
Figure this out.
Okay,
I don't want to sound like an idiot, you know, for all those listeners. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I guess in the 1950s, there was a special needs boy named Gary that lived there with his father.
God.
And Gary died in the home, but the father went back to, like, clean out the closet and get some of his stuff, and that's where he had the heart attack. So it was the father of the boy that lived there.
Was Gary the one who fell down the stairs?
Oh, maybe.
And died?
It doesn't say.
Because I did not find... I did not find a name attached to. It was just that a young boy in the 1950s fell down the front stairs and died.
That would make sense then, because this was the 1950s.
All right.
So, right after that, his father died in the closet.
Awesome.
Of a heart attack.
That's literally... Okay, the other thing is, way too many, like, an unnatural number of people have just died from, like, some Final Destination shit in this house, and it's uncool. I don't like it.
No.
Because you figure, like, think about it. Was the little girl, like, standing in the fireplace, or did, like, enough embers, like, come off and spark her dress?
Like, how flammable was this nightgown?
Right, exactly. It's kind of nuts. So... something else that's been seen throughout the house on separate occasions is Big Black. That's the name that was given to an entity that is not of this world. It's actually most commonly encountered in the doctor's old office space, but has been seen throughout the rest of the home on occasion. Now, this is not a place that I would go into the basement of.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. It's, I mean, like, the rest of the house is so terrifying to me that there's no physical way that I would go down into the basement. No, many ghost hunters come in with EVP equipment, hoping to pick up whispers and voices, but once arriving, they actually realize that recording devices just aren't needed. You can hear the voices with your naked ear. Women doing research have reported being groped or grabbed by a spirit whom they believe to be the doctor. He also whispers in their ears.
No, thank you.
Super on brand for this house, though. You know, he's like, oh, whispers? I'll go with that. So beds and sofas have visibly shaken, and just, like, not just at night. Doors have slammed, heavy, antique, solid wood doors with no breeze and no windows open, slamming shut. That's not common. Frankly, the worst to me is the scents that can pass through the halls, including cologne, tobacco smoke, rancid meat, cooking cabbage, and dirty medical bandages. So, like,
that's
pussy.
A very specific scent.
Right, right. Like, pussy, nasty bandages, like, filled with gangrene, right? Like, just gross. The recording equipment is also regularly disturbed in some way. And the best part, you can spend the night there. Doesn't that sound fun?
No.
No? Oh. But for only $200 on a weekday, or $300 on a weekend, you can bring a group of 10 people or less and sleep among the vortex and tragedy.
Wait, wait, wait. So that's $10 for, I mean, no.
Yeah.
$300 for 10 people?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's worth it. That's for, like, a girl's getaway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we could totally, I don't know. Nobody's getting married, but we could do a girl's getaway there. I was thinking we could do a bachelorette party there, and it'd be fun as fuck. But, yeah, I'd totally go.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, where is this again? It's in Indiana. I know people in Indiana. But, yeah, it's, I don't remember where in Indiana this is.
You know what? Okay. Let's find something else a little closer. I'm sure we can.
Okay.
We live in New England.
Sounds good.
I don't want to get on a plane for this.
No, we could drive. Okay. She doesn't want to be in a car with me for that long.
That's,
I can,
like,
understand
14
it.
Hours.
Yeah, it is, like, 14 hours.
Do you know how many pee breaks you would have to take?
Oh, my God. So many pee breaks. So many pee breaks. I know. I have to pee again. I literally just peed before we started recording. It's insane.
Like 20 minutes ago.
I know. Okay. Exactly.
Anyway.
Sorry, guys. So, that's actually hella reasonable, as we were saying. And they also allow live podcasts and ghost hunters. However, the property is not open to the public for tours yet.
That seems like a missed opportunity for them.
Totes my goats. The Travel Channel actually listed this home as the fourth scariest place in America, which is wild to me because prior to stumbling on it, I had never heard of it. And I feel like I've watched all those, like, top 10 scariest places, or, like,
we should look at, like, the top 5 at least of the scariest places in America and make sure we've covered them.
I know. I'm like right there with you. So the property most recently changed hands in 2020 for a whopping $130,000. Yes, you heard me right. I mean, I would buy that shit just to live in it. it's only a quarter of an acre of death-infested ground, but you will have tons of roommates, which is pretty cool.
You'll never be alone.
It's just like nobody sees prices like that anymore, so that's amazing. I've actually linked to the actual site for the house, so if you want to, you can book. But tell us about it, and maybe we'll be a part of your 10 or less group. Please, for me at least. And there's also a ton of like photos, videos, and recordings that you can listen to. So if you're interested, check that out.
There's one other thing that's super creepy about this place that I don't think we mentioned about the dolls.
Oh, God.
So, of course, there has to be a doll somewhere.
I probably just like subconsciously skipped over that because it stresses me.
So there are a bunch of dolls around the house. And it said that, you know, Rachel is playing with the dolls and sometimes they just move on their own.
Nope. I'm out. Yeah. I'm not staying there. They can vacate the doll. The dolls can leave and then I'll go in. But I'm not doing it with the dolls. I hate that.
That was all.
I hate that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, we'll be back next week with something a little more tragic, but hope you enjoyed this little mental break from all of the grossness after the Wests. And I heard from a listener basically saying, oh my God, that was the worst thing I've ever heard in my lifetime. And I'm like, yeah, you should have been on the end of researching it because it was pretty atrocious. Yeah. I didn't want to sleep that night for sure. All right, guys, thanks so much, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.